stopping a form of modern-day slavery. Good morning and happy Halloween. Thanks for listening to First Coast Connect this morning. I'm Melissa Ross. And just ahead this hour, activists across Florida are ramping up the fight against human trafficking. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Then later, a conversation with Florida author Elizabeth McCulloch, plus some ideas for your Halloween weekend. But first this morning, it's a modern-day scourge. Human trafficking is essentially 21st century slavery. According to the Human Trafficking Hotline, Florida ranks third in trafficking cases reported by the states, behind only California and Texas. Trafficking includes both forced labor and sexual exploitation. In South Florida, doctors, medical students, and local officials met last night at Florida International University. They were discussing how to identify and treat victims of trafficking. Dr. Anna Viamonte Ross is an associate professor at FIU's College of Medicine, and she did point out Florida ranks third in the nation for this problem.
It doesn't happen just to other people, but it happens to people that you know and people that are your neighbors and people that you deal with on a daily basis.
Chika Wosu is a fourth-year medical student at FIU.
Human trafficking looks a lot like domestic violence, and so the physician may not realize that it's actually a human trafficking victim. You have to deal with them a certain way.
Now, the team at FIU has created a course. It's part of a state medical education curriculum that was only approved 2 years ago. Now, all Florida doctors and nurses must receive human trafficking training in order to renew their medical license. That is a step forward. Here in our area this weekend, an important event is also taking place to raise awareness about human trafficking and how we can all combat it. We're pleased to welcome Sandra Shin and Tacoma Perry, both with Hope for Freedom. It's an organization working to educate, advocate for survivors, and prevent human trafficking on the First Coast. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning.
And here's our question to callers. What are your thoughts and comments and questions about human trafficking? Give us a call. It's 549-2937, 549-2937. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, tweets to @MelissaInJax. Our Facebook page is open. Sandra Shin, let's begin with you. You have a powerful personal story to share, it's my understanding, about human trafficking. Can you share some of your background with us?
I am from Jamaica, and as early as 8 years old, I was a labor slave in my own mom's home. I had to take care of a family of seven, cook, clean. I didn't even go to school. And back in Jamaica, at a certain age, if you're not in school, it's a problem for your parents. And so by 11, she decided she would have to, you know, allow me to go to school. But by then, the family is getting, you know, we're growing older. So she bought a house and she wasn't able to pay for it. And I was given to the man to have sex with as payment for the house. And that went on until after 13 years old. I ran away to one of her friends, and it so happens, yes, I got pregnant for her son because he again raped me. So that went on until I was about 24 years old before I actually was able to get out of that situation. And one of the reasons, I know the question is just saying who, what happened to me, but one of the reasons I have to share this, why this walk is so, so, so important this weekend, is because we can rescue these girls, and of course we can restore them, but one thing we cannot give them back is their innocence.
Right.
Because I will never regain that back.
It breaks my heart that your childhood was stolen in this way, both in terms of forced labor and sexual exploitation. And, you know, when we talk about this, it's so horrific. It's really hard to talk about, but we have to, because there are 40 million victims of trafficking around the world. 25% of them are children, as you were, Sandra, and 75% are women and girls. Mm-hmm. Most are trapped in forced labor, but they are also trafficked sexually. And So your story is so sadly common in countries around the world, but you're talking about your childhood in Jamaica. It's so important for people to understand that this is happening right here in Jacksonville.
Yes, it is.
Right?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And so let's talk about that, Tacoma, because Florida is ranked third in the nation for cases of human trafficking.
It is. It is. And it's something that I think a lot of your listeners will say, well, that's her. That happened in another country. Mm-hmm. That doesn't relate to me. I see my children. They're here with me. But, you know, you really got to know that you've got to look for some signs. It can mm-hmm. be as simple as your daughter coming home, her behavior having changed over the last few months, and she has a new friend. And now all of a sudden, this new boyfriend is the most important thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And it could be that that boyfriend is really just grooming her to get her mm-hmm. into this sort of lifestyle. You know, this is happening. This is your friend's children. This is your children. It's happening right here in Jacksonville. And the statistics don't lie. Mm-hmm. These aren't all people from the wrong side of the tracks. These are people that you see every day at the store. And, you know, we teach children to be obedient. That's why children are so susceptible to this type of crime, because they're doing what they're told to do. And a lot of times women and girls and boys are doing what they're influenced to do. Mm-hmm. So it does not look like the stranger in another country mm-hmm. that's less fortunate, a mom trying to pay for a house in Jamaica. It is a daughter who just got to really close to who she thought was a friend and that just exploited her in some way.
Kids can be so easily exploited. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. Parents need to be really vigilant. At the same time, let me ask you about this. Trafficking goes on all over town. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in businesses, we all patronize. Let's maybe say you go to get your nails done at a nail shop, or you go to eat at an ethnic restaurant, and mm-hmm. there are a lot of workers maybe in the back of the house. You don't maybe even see some of them. There is a chance that some of those people are being trafficked.
Yes.
And so as Americans who are witnessing this, often I think people feel powerless to do anything. What should people do if they suspect they're witnessing some form of sexual or labor trafficking in a business or on the street or in any context?
There is a hotline number. That number is 1-866-347-2423. And what has been done now is that there's a law that passed that in certain restaurants, beauty salon, these signs have to be placed where that individual, if you go in to get your nails done, you can call that number, because there are times we will see things that it's out of place. And it may not be a traffic situation, but we won't know until we call that number.
What would be something that you think would look out of place at a local business?
One thing, there are signs like for instance, if you go in to get your nails done and you see this individual, she looked just so tired, because I've gone when I used to get my nails done and I've seen this young lady, she always, you know, do my nails, and she was always so upbeat. And this one particular time I went in and she just looked so tired and she looked drained. So I asked her, could you, you know, follow me into the restroom? I did not know where the restroom was. But thank God that was the first time me going to the restroom. And when she escorted me to the restroom, I was able to ask her, did you eat? Did you have a break? She said, no, I've been working all morning and I did not get a break. And I said, no, this is not right. This is just not right. And then she said to me, did you know that the tip that you left for me the last time, I did not receive it? And that's a perfect sign, because they don't allow them to get the tips that we give, especially if we pay from our credit card. So I just slipped her the card that has the 1-800 number on it. And I said, you call this number, and if you are not willing to do it, call me and I'll do it for you. And thank God she was able to do that, and she's out of there.
She did do that.
Yes, yes.
Okay, it's 549-2937 as we speak with Hope for Freedom, a local organization. working to fight human trafficking in Florida. As we've learned, now all doctors and nurses in the state have to undergo a course learning about human trafficking so that they can spot the signs. Tacoma, when we talk about prevention and spotting victims, you're also wanting, I know, to speak about the push to teach students in schools about this. Can you share that?
That's exactly right, because, your children have friends, and you can tell when you had a friend that used to be talk to you all the time and no longer talks to you. And, oh, I can't talk to you. I've got to go. Mm-hmm. My friend wouldn't like this, or my boyfriend wouldn't like this. When they're not allowed to do other things, other children know when something isn't right. That person used to be my friend, and all of a sudden they're spending all their time with this other person. Mm-hmm. So it is important for students to be able to spot what's going on in their friend's life and tell someone they trust, a trusted adult, to say, hey, I don't know what's going on. You know, Sandra has a great story about a friend who, at the last minute, I mean, this girl was all packed to go to California, I think, with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And the girl's friend told their parent, like, no, she's about to leave the state. You know, and California is what, number one mm-hmm. for human trafficking in the country. So it is important for professionals, for laypersons, like students, parents, we all need to know the signs. And one of those signs is someone not being able to make decisions for themselves. And they're deferring to some other individual who seemingly has some authority over them. That's important. And then we talk about walking into businesses when someone is not allowed to communicate or talk to you, you know, mm-hmm. if it's a family business, that's one thing. You know, you can tell when a child is working in their family business, they're talking to you, they're greeting you, they know their name, they can take breaks. But when they're not allowed to communicate, or they look downtrodden, like you said.
And sometimes there's a language barrier, too.
Sometimes there is. But there's a universal sign for I'm tired.
Mm, yeah,
it's a universal sign for I haven't eaten.
Yes.
Delta Airlines has a great story of how they were able to spot and rescue someone from being trafficked by simply going into the bathroom and placing a note, if you need help. Mm-hmm. And the girl was, you know, able to let them know, I do need help.
Yeah.
And so there are ways to, you know, letting a person know, listen, if you need help, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm able to get to a phone and call someone for you.
Right. It's 549-2937. What are your questions about human trafficking in Florida? And Sandra, you said you had another story to share.
I would say event at my church last year, March, just teaching my church members, you know, the signs to look for. And one individual that was there on her job, she was seeing the signs all along and just did not know what it was. And because of that, she was able to help that young lady. She was able to prevent that young lady from being trafficked that very day. And stories like that, that is why I really go out and speak on prevention. There's another situation where a friend of mine, she went to the park with her little baby, 3 years old, and she saw this van park alongside the park with the passenger door open. And this little boy came out, couldn't be more than 8 years old, and wanting to play with her little baby. But he was playing that little game, tag, you're it. Mm-hmm. But he's directing the little baby to the restroom. And the mom, she said, normally she wouldn't pay any attention to the little baby because it's a park where all the children play. But this one day, she said, I am having my eye out. And she watched the little boy directing the child to the restroom. And they did go in the restroom, and she rushed in, and that van pulled up on the other side of the restroom. Now there's another door, an outer door, so that baby would have been gone. And thank God for that mom that day.
Wow.
You know, was alert to that. Yes.
As parents, you really can't watch closely enough, can you?
No.
Now tell me a little bit more about Hope for Freedom and how you work with survivors.
Well, Hope for Freedom, what we honestly do is 6 of us from, you know, my church, we go out and speak on prevention method. And sad to say, you know, human trafficking is everywhere, but it's also in the shelters. And so we go to the Salvation Army every week on a Tuesday. We go to City Rescue once per month. And there's another clinic called CAN Community. So we go there, we set up informational booth. In the City Rescue and Salvation Army, we have a program called Drop It, Drop In that helps the girls who have been trafficked and is in this situation to get mm-hmm. back into society and to, you know, perform in a productive way. There are people there who come up to us and said, you know, my daughter have been trafficked. We can't find her. But because of that, we're able to help that mother, you know, to give her a peace of mind because we cannot get back that child. She don't even know where that child is, but at least we can give her a peace of mind. So these are some of the things we are doing. And why the prevention method is so, so important to me is because it's better to prevent than to rescue, because there's so much danger in it for you, the person, or even trying to rescue them. So if we can prevent it before they get there, I am hoping that we can stop human trafficking by preventing it from happening.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about statewide efforts to combat human trafficking in Florida. The number to join us is 549-2937 as we speak with Sandra Shin and Tacoma Perry of the local organization Hope for Freedom. Now, as we've been discussing, Florida leaders both at the state and federal level are trying to prevent human trafficking through prevention and education. There are proposals in front of the State Board of Education and Congress to make sure kids learn about human trafficking in schools, in public health classes. There's a bipartisan delegation of Florida members of Congress. They've introduced a bill that would provide $75 million over 5 years for human trafficking education. This would go to nonprofits like the one we're speaking to today, Hope for Freedom. And at the same time, Susan on our Facebook page has some ideas. She says, please ask people to ask their representatives to make this suggested law apply to all publicly funded schools, charter schools, magnet schools, voucher schools. Senate Bill 154, which would require this education in schools. She also wants to ask you ladies about this. She says, could they talk about the dangers of the guest worker visa? It ties a worker to one employer, rather than allowing them to participate in the free market system and change employers. What about that?
That to me is, it's powerful because you will find a whole lot of people working, especially in the sweatshops. You know, one person is over all these hundreds of employee contractors, and they're not able to see a dime out of what they work. So if we can have that where it's just a one-on-one, it will come back mm-hmm. human traffic, especially on the labor side of it.
Yes. Under the nation's guest worker program, Tacoma, employers recruit more than 200,000 mm-hmm. foreign workers mm-hmm. each year, mainly in farming, forestry, landscaping, tourism, mm-hmm. construction. You see these workers all over town.
Sure.
Okay, they're right in front of us. They are mainly from Latin America, and they are systematically exploited and abused by labor recruiters and employers. This is a huge problem in Florida. Mm-hmm. The poster child are the migrant workers south of us in Hastings, mm-hmm. but that's not the only example. All over the state, you can find examples of this form of human trafficking.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Human trafficking exists wherever there is lack. You know, wherever there is scarcity. And so when you have an employer who is trying to, you know, recruit a bunch of people, no matter what ethnicity, mm-hmm. just cheap labor, mm-hmm. you're going to find that. So, yes, I believe what your Facebook user is suggesting would help combat
yes.
the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
The guest worker visa issue. Mm-hmm. And certainly now, and what are your thoughts about E-Verify, where that's been controversial in Florida for years, forcing employers to check the immigration status of people that are working on, say, a construction site. If they are not documented, they're more likely to be exploited.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree. I think accountability is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think when you have levels of accountability, there is less chance for something like this to happen.
Yeah.
So E-Verify is a measure that goes to hold employers accountable for who they hire.
Mm-hmm. It's 549-2937. Jen is in Fernandina. Hi, Jen. Good morning. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Hi, listen, first of all, I wanted to thank you guys for all the work that you're doing because it's an incredibly important cause. But listen, I'm a nurse. I worked for many, many years up in Baltimore, and I've worked here in Jacksonville for the last decade. And I wanted to talk to you guys about the fact, you know, what we're seeing on the floors is we see individuals coming in that sometimes have been beaten. I can't say it any other way. They've been harmed. And, you know, they oftentimes come in and they have more than one STI. And it's a pervasive problem in this area. I don't, you know, if you get a 17-year-old, 18-year-old girl in that has multiple STIs and we do see this kind of violent side to it, you know, we as nurses, all that we seem to be able to do is, you know, we can report it, you know, that we suspect abuse. But what other things would you guys say that we could do for these individuals when they come in?
Yeah, thanks, Jen, so much for that.
Great question.
What else should medical professionals do besides reporting what they suspect?
One of the things they can do is just ask that individual, because that individual is reaching out for somebody to trust. So that nurse could be that one advocate for that individual, because you may report it, but you may never see her again. So there are certain questions that you can ask her, you know, and just let her know you're not going to report her, because she too may not want the officer or law enforcement to be in on it because of fear. But if she can trust you, she will be able to open to you, and that would be a life saved just by asking, how did you come about, you know, what is happening to you? Where are you living? Who are you living with? You know, questions like those.
Are you okay?
Are you okay?
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
The medical profession has an additional advantage, and they are able to separate the mm-hmm. victim from the person. They can say, hey, I need to talk with her alone.
Yes.
I can't. This
yes.
part has to be done with just her and I.
Yes.
So taking advantage of that opportunity, because I know a lot of human trafficking victims, they are always around mm-hmm. the predator, the person who is trafficking them.
Yeah.
And so they make it a point to always be around them. With the medical profession, you know, a doctor could say, hey, listen, I've got to have him step outside. I've really
or
just
a nurse.
Or nurse. Like, yes.
As Jen is.
Yes.
So they have that authority.
They have that authority. They have that authority yeah. behind them to say, yeah, yeah, I'm going to need you to step outside. This part has to be done. Just her and I.
Yeah.
And then try to draw them out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And offer help.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that number is always good to have.
Yeah.
That hotline number is always good to have.
Right. Yeah. Get the, yeah, medical professionals, teachers, anyone really.
Yeah.
Get this hotline written down so
yes,
that you can direct
it.
People to call it. It's the National Human Trafficking Hotline. There's a national one and a Florida one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give the Florida one first. It's 1-800-96-ABUSE. That's the Florida Abuse Hotline. Mm-hmm. 1-800-96-ABUSE. The National Human Trafficking Hotline is 1-888-373-7888. I'll say it again so you can write it down. 1-888-373-7888. You can even text HELP to this short code.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in trouble, you can text HELP to this short code, 233-733. That stands for Be Free. Okay, so there are many ways to reach out, including to Hope for Freedom, the local organization we're speaking with this morning. Now, you have a big event coming up this Saturday.
Yes.
It's the annual Hope for Freedom Walk.
Yeah.
What's happening?
We're excited about that. You know, I know, you know, walks have maybe gotten kind of cliched and old, but walks are important because they show unity. They show all who participate and all who are onlookers that we are unified in this cause, and we will not take it here in Jacksonville in this case. So we've got a walk on Saturday morning. It starts at 8 a.m. It's at our church, Jack's Church. And I'm going to get you the address to that church so that you can make sure that you are there. But it starts at 8 a.m. to noon. We've got three different walks that you can participate in. Of course, the kids, we've got something for the kids. They can walk. We also have a 1 mile for those who don't want to go any further than that.
Mm-hmm.
I am part of that that congregation. And then, of course, we have our 5K. You can register online at hope-4freedom.org. And that, again, is hope-4freedom.org. And we are really excited. We really want to just have a show of unity and of support to those who may think that this is not a cause that touches them. It touches every one of us, mm-hmm. whether we know it or not. Mm-hmm. And it may be one of those things where we don't think about it as much, but we want to put it in the forefront of your mind because we're trying to prevent anyone that you know from being trafficked. Just think of it as a very personal level. If you mm-hmm. don't think about it on any other level, you don't have any empathy or sympathy for anyone who is currently affected by this, just think this is something that you want to prevent in your own family.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm telling you, most people listening to this right now, I guarantee you have at one point mm-hmm. been in a business somewhere mm-hmm. in this town where people are being trafficked. I guarantee it.
Yes.
You just have to try to learn to spot the signs and do what you can to raise the alarm. Right, Sandra?
Yes. And I would add to that, over 300,000 individuals are trafficked every year. And of that 300,000, 100,000 of that are children. Mm-hmm. And that is happening throughout the entire Northeast Florida. And right here in Jacksonville, it's sad to say that we aren't 42 in 100 city. And like you said before, Florida is number 3. So we need to wake up because it's happening right next door to us and we sometimes don't know.
That's right.
So this is very, 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 very important.
So come on out for the annual Hope for Freedom Walk, Saturday, 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. at Jack's Church. And they are located at 6118 Bowden Road in Jacksonville. As efforts to combat human trafficking escalate all over the state of Florida. And we thank you both so much, survivor Sandra Shin and Tacoma Perry, both with Hope for Freedom here in Jacksonville. Thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you so much for us. Your time.
And yes, and thank you for having us.
Effort.
Thanks.
A quick break, and up next, we speak with author Elizabeth McCulloch. Plus, spotlighting smart women and girls making change on the First Coast. That's financial change. We will be right back.
November 11th of each year is the day that we ensure veterans know that we deeply appreciate the sacrifices they have made in their lives to keep our country free. Help WJCT honor our veterans during the month of November by submitting a name that we may add to our on-air thank you announcements. Go to wjct.org/veterans.
You might have the wisdom of the ages, the power of the ancients, the Ark of the Covenant, but when stuff really hits the fan, even you might need a little help. Next Snap Judgment, Godsend. Snap Judgment, storytelling with a beat. Do not miss it.
Saturday afternoon at 2 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, this weekend, Florida author Elizabeth McCulloch kicks off the Marjorie Kenan Rawlings Literary Series. Rawlings, of course, is the famed Florida author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Yearling. Now, this event, called Loving the Prairie, Dreaming the Marsh, will spotlight McCulloch's new book, Dreaming the Marsh. I spoke with her. Let's listen. Elizabeth McCulloch, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm happy to be here.
So, first off, tell me about your book, Dreaming the Marsh.
Dreaming the Marsh is eco-fiction and magic realism. A sinkhole starts to grow in some protected land, and grows and grows, and it swallows part of the interstate and a lake. People don't know what to do about it. There's a geologist and battling county commissioners, the developers who kind of fall in love with the process of watching their dreams be swallowed. And there's a coffee shop owner who is connected to all the ancient history of Florida. She understands what's going on, but she's not telling.
Sounds like a good tale. You'll be discussing it at this really cool event at the Marjorie Kinnon Rawlings House. This is called Loving the Prairie, Dreaming the Marsh. What can people expect?
Well, the first speaker will be Lars Anderson, who is a North Florida nature guide, and he wrote the book Payne's Prairie. And then I will be talking about how Payne's Prairie inspired my book. I'll tell something about my own personal experiences on the prairie, and then about how that led to the book, and if I have time, I'll read a bit from the book. And then Marjorie Kinnon Rawlings' homestead is right there at the park. And a woman who is, as I understand it, she is in charge of the literary manuscripts at the University of Florida. And she will be doing a tour of Marjorie's house, telling about her relationships with various other writers, such as Robert Frost and Margaret Mitchell, who wrote Gone with the Wind. And her editor, Max Perkins, who is famous among writers. He was the editor for Hemingway and Thomas Wolfe and Marjorie Kinnon Rawlings and many others.
Excellent. Now, let me quickly ask you as well. You're known as the feminist grandma. Tell me about that.
I am. All right. About 8 years ago, I began writing a blog called The Feminist Grandma. It's illustrated personal essays. I write about aging. I write about friends and family. I write about issues that aggravate me or thrill me, and it's just various essays. I also have a blog called Big Books from Small Presses, and they're both on my website, ElizabethMcCulloughAuthor.com.
There are a lot of feminist grandmas out there these days, aren't there?
There are. In fact, most of my friends are both feminists and grandmas, and there are many more than the ones I know, of course.
It's a pleasure to speak with you, and have a wonderful time at this event. It's Saturday at the Marjorie Kinnon Rawlings House, which is also a state park, and Elizabeth McCulloch will be talking about her book, Dreaming the Marsh, among other attractions. Thanks, Elizabeth. That will be an amazing event. Again, that's Saturday, November 2nd, 1 p.m. at the Marjorie Kinnon Rawlings House in Cross Creek. Cross Creek is located between Gainesville and Ocala. It's part of the Florida State Park system. Go check it out. And we'll be right back.
Experience performers live from the WJCT soundstage. WJCT and the Florida Theater offers a unique and intimate venue to enjoy performances in close proximity to artists. For more info, visit floridatheater.com.
That sound means you're in the Electro Lounge, where fresh, down-tempo, chill-out, and new jazz music plays Monday through Saturday nights at 9 p.m. only on 89.9 FM WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, next week, it's a celebration of women and girls in our area and their financial power. Smart Women Make Change is coming up Monday at the Downtown Main Library. Women-owned businesses will be in the spotlight, including some created by middle school girls. Tiffany Mackey Guthrie is Director of Development for Junior Achievement of North Florida. This all benefits junior achievement girls, so I'm so excited to shine a light on it. Hey, Tiffany, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so this is called Smart Women Make Change, meaning money, right?
That's right. And meaning we do make a change.
It's a little of both.
That's right.
Yeah, so what's happening?
We have a great event coming up on Monday. This is a special event that benefits our JA Girls program. JA Girls is special to junior achievement, meaning it needs to find its own funding to keep it thriving. And so we're really excited about this. This benefits over 3,000 girls per year, just focusing on creating a bright future for our girls, getting them ready for the workforce, teaching them how to open up their own business, and managing money, which is really important. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, working with women. Women inspire these young girls to think outside the box, to think outside of those non-traditional jobs, and let them know that you can do it too.
You will have two middle school girls who are entrepreneurs. They will be showcasing their products. What are they working on?
Yes. So we have the Goddess Food Factory with Chef Simone Bridges. She works on pastries, and I've heard they're really phenomenal. We also have Sweet Christie's. She actually makes homemade soaps, but in a decorative piece. Pretty cool. And we actually have one at the last minute, ASE Natural. She started a tea line that focuses on health and digestion.
Wow. So already they are showing that entrepreneurial spark in middle school.
Absolutely.
And what I love about junior achievement is you give both boys and girls self-confidence, networking and mentoring opportunities. You provide a framework for them to see a path toward a successful adulthood.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. JA focuses on those three pillars that I talked about earlier. And it's across all walks of life. This is specific to our JA girls, but we work with everyone. We are very heavy in the school system. So we work with students from 5 to 18, recruiting volunteers to go in the classroom and really just connect with these students, enhance what they're learning in the classroom, and really just showing them what they're learning in school meets what we need in real life.
The big thing about this is financial literacy. I don't think we can stress enough how important that is to teach students. And that's been a relatively recent change, hasn't it? When you and I were in school, we didn't get that. And we had to make a million financial mistakes as young adults. I was completely financially illiterate when I left home. And I just did everything wrong.
Agreed.
For years. And then after a lot of dumb mistakes, you slowly figure out how to manage money. And even now, I'm not excellent at it. So financial literacy is so important for kids.
It is very important. And that's really what I love about JA. And to your point, I graduated from high school in the same boat. I was really clueless. But JA starts in kindergarten, really introducing them to the coin and trade, and up to third grade, the different payment methods and budgeting, and just taking that up to path all the way to high school, to where we are teach them about risk management, stock options. I mean, go figure that, how to invest, how to save, and what that looks like. And it really opens up their mind to the real world. If you want to move out, what does that look like? If you want a job, don't forget there's something that says net and gross on your paycheck. What does that mean? And I think if I would have had these skills a lot earlier in life, I probably would have been a step ahead.
Of course. So these kids really are getting a leg up. The other thing about this that is so excellent is the majority of small businesses now are created by women. And these girls that come out to Smart Women Make Change, you can't be what you can't see.
That's
they
right.
will see role models in front of them who are successfully running female-owned businesses. That's powerful.
That is so powerful. And gosh, just looking back, just seeing these ladies, the way they walk, the talk, and the choices they make, it really gives you self-confidence. And that's what's exciting, again, about this program. We are looking for entrepreneurs all of the time, women business owners, to take a few moments and come speak to these young girls and really help them think about their future and make steps now. And that's the important thing. What can you do now to get yourself ready?
Mm-hmm. So if there's someone out there listening, you want them to come and speak to your girls.
Absolutely.
Not come at this event, but anytime.
That's right. I mean, you most certainly can come to the event and check us out and hear about the program. But we welcome anybody to come into the classroom. Most certainly those entrepreneurs, any lady in any kind of leadership role, again, just showing these ladies that we can do it too.
Okay, so this is the 11th year for your signature event. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Tiffany Mackey Guthrie of Junior Achievement of North Florida. Smart Women Make Change is coming up Monday. This is going to be at the downtown Jacksonville Main Library. And instead of the typical luncheon, which we've all been to, you're having a more fun evening event. What's on the agenda?
We are. So one of the things that we wanted to do, ladies of the board is on the committee, so shout out to them. Thank you for all the work. We want to do something different. We wanted folks to come after work and relax. We love luncheons, but we know sometimes, you know, we're looking at our clock, we have a lot to do. And so we wanted people to come relax, walk around, celebrate our women business owners who are with us on Monday night. We have live music. Wicked Barley, shout out to them. Thank you. They're one of our beer sponsors. So we have beer, wine, walking around, and then the program begins.
Yeah. And so if you haven't been to an event at the library, by the way, it is a great place for events. Are you doing this in the courtyard outside? Where is this going to be?
You know, originally we were. We had to change the venue a little bit. So we'll be in the conference center down at the bottom on the first level. But we've got some great partners coming in doing some great decoration. So the look will look differently than our luncheon. So we're excited about that.
Right. So it's Smart Women Make Change. This is benefiting Junior Achievement of North Florida. And this in particular is targeted at girls, young girls and young women. However, Junior Achievement works with girls and boys. Mm-hmm. So whether you're a man or a woman, you should support Junior Achievement of North Florida and come on out next Monday night to Smart Women Make Change. This is Monday evening cocktail reception at the downtown Jacksonville Main Library. 10 vendors, all locally female-owned businesses, including some middle school girls who are going to absolutely take over the world someday, very, very soon, and do much better than all of
That's
us.
That's right.
I'm sure. So Tiffany Mackey Guthrie, she is Director of Development for Junior Achievement North Florida. It's always good to see you guys stop by here. Thank you so much for all you do and have a great time.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
And happy Halloween, by the
way.
Yes,
you too.
Are you going out trick-or-treating or doing anything tonight?
You know, just like all crazy women, we are working on auction items for Monday's event. So that's what we'll be doing tonight.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but it is Halloween. So what are you planning to do? And by the way, Florida, Georgia is this weekend. That's just one of the things going on all around town this weekend. We're going to clue you in on what we think are the best events to catch over this holiday weekend and a little bit more fun. So don't go away. Keep listening. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. We'll be right back.
It caught on in Old
Man. They did the match.
They did the monster match. The zombies were having fun. Party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing.
Brass, organ, winds, and percussion is the Jacksonville Symphony's third annual concert, featuring the wonderful musicians of the symphony and Greg Zelek on the mighty Bryan concert organ. It will be an afternoon of powerful music. November 3rd. Tickets and more at jacksymphony.org.
Legal segregation is long gone, but yet somehow it lingers.
I see historically black neighborhoods just crumbling, and the little bit of wealth that communities of color have just whittling away. And so it was important to me and to our family that we were able to hold on to that.
I'm Kai Rizdal. History Matters. Next time on Marketplace.
Today at 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
On the next Fresh Air, the New York Times correspondent in Ukraine, Andrew Kramer, talks about the impact of President Trump's dealings with Ukraine on that country, the difficult balancing act facing Ukraine's new president, and why President Trump says Ukrainian officials tried to sabotage his campaign. Join us today at noon on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Hey there, I'm Joshua Johnson. There's no denying it. 1A is based inside the Beltway. But a lot of the time, our guests come from further afield.
Hello, Joshua. We hear you loud and clear. Welcome to the International Space Station.
Like that time when two guests were traveling at 17,000 miles an hour somewhere way up above. See the world differently on 1A from WAMU and NPR.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. This is Halloween, everybody. Happy Halloween. We've got a not-so-scary list of ideas for you to put on your social calendar for the weekend, including the Florida-Georgia game, of course. Now, the RV city has already sprouted around TIAA Bank Field. Related festivities, which include a baseball game and a concert under the Bold City Bash umbrella, they kick off tomorrow, so check that out. Also, lots of great live music Saturday night. The Dreamers are at 1904 Music Hall, and here come the Mummies. They'll be at the Pontevedra Concert Hall. Now, we also want to make a quick mention of the Right Whale Fest. That is Saturday and Sunday, and it has been moved from Jacksonville Beach to Fernandina Beach. Plus, if college football isn't your cup of tea, the Jaguars are playing the Texans in London on Sunday. And there is one very rad way to watch the Jags game. We're pleased to welcome right now Riley Luthold. He's general manager at Posting House in San Marco. Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being with us. You know, Posting House is such a great new addition in San Marco. It's just doing gangbusters. So first off, congratulations.
Thank you so much. We've been having a great time.
It's a lot of fun. So before we talk about what's happening this weekend, tell us a little bit more about the idea for what you put together for Posting House.
Absolutely. So the owners, Stu and Jude, they're listening right now. Hey, how you doing? They are from London. They actually moved to San Marco about 5 years ago, and they missed their pubs. So what they wanted to do was they wanted to create a space that was for the community, people somewhere that they could welcome their friends and their neighbors, pour a pint, a nice glass of wine, and relax.
It does have that English pub feel, which is so great.
Absolutely. It's a great watering hole.
It really is. So with that said, and with the Jaguars playing in London on Sunday, you at Posting House have partnered with the organization Jax is Rad, and you're going to have a watch party, right?
Absolutely. Partnering with Jax is Rad. They're a great brand. They do a lot of good work. They're releasing a special T-shirt for it as well. We're very excited. Yes.
What's it going to say?
Jags is Rad. Jags are Rad.
Okay. So people that come out to the event can get their special shirt.
Yes, they get $5 off the T-shirt. It was actually designed by an artist in London, and Jax is Rad partnered with them to bring that over.
Okay. Now, you're also going to have a projector, so the game gets a proper viewing.
Yes.
Lots of local Jax beer options, even some special London brews.
Absolutely. So we're getting a projector and sound system, so it'll be a great viewing experience. We'll also have a lot of local drafts and some special beer brewed in London.
And some wines from your new wine list and some Vagabond coffee, which is always nice.
Yes.
Shout out to Vagabond Coffee. Now, let's also make mention of the fact that you are one of the local breweries and watering holes around town to have food now that's catered by the local company Brewbox Foods. Full disclosure, our producer Heather Schatz is part of that business, which is taking off like a rocket. How does that factor into the event?
Yeah, so what we're doing, they're doing a special catering spread for us. It's going to be in the morning, so we're going to have a great brunch spread for everybody. We're going to have some smoked salmon, muffins, scones. For people in London, what they like doing is putting clotted cream and chutneys
and
on their pastries.
Yes, sure, yeah.
So there'll be a big spread with that. Orange juice, they'll have meats and cheeses. It should be a really good hearty breakfast.
Now, if you are not one of the lucky few going to London for this game, this is going to be the best watch party on this side of the ocean. This is pretty cool stuff. It is happening Sunday at Posting House in San Marco. The London Game Watch Party at Posting House with Jax is rad. You can get tickets now at 904tix.com. But how about this? Right now, we are going to do our much-beloved ticket giveaway. We have one pair of Tix to give away to the London Game Watch Party Sunday at Posting House. The fun kicks off early at 8:30 a.m. If you want a pair of tickets to the Jags Watch Party at Posting House in San Marco on Sunday, email us right now at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. And we will pick one winner at random. So get those emails in and get your tickets at 904tix.com. This is a perfect opportunity to come check out a bold new business in San Marco. It's Posting House. Such a fun place to go. And Riley Luthold, general manager there, you once saved my credit card from being lost or stolen when I left it there, and I'm eternally grateful to you for that. So thank you
again.
So much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And have fun whatever you do tonight and this weekend. That's our show. Thanks for listening. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Michelle Corum directs the show. Our news director is Jessica Palumbo. Bill Bortsfield is our digital editor. We always value your feedback. Send those emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. On tomorrow's show, we'll take a look at all of the biggest stories of the week with our Friday Media Roundtable. That's tomorrow. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect. Please stay tuned for live coverage from NPR on the House of Representatives impeachment vote in Washington. That will preempt 1A this morning. And if you're listening to our rebroadcast tonight, don't miss our special rebroadcast of the 1938 Halloween classic War of the Worlds. We'll see you tomorrow.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.